You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 15th of December. Oh, 10 days away from Christmas. We'll look at what the Jazz are ready for in the Boston Celtics. We'll pack Friday it, which will be a lot of fun, and try to look forward to a stunning Jazz win as they break the losing streak tonight, right? We'll see. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. Thanks for your great questions yesterday. Those were super. Really appreciate it. Today's edition of Locked On Jazz, which is your daily podcast about the Utah Jazz, bringing you insight and expertise you simply cannot get anywhere else. Brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai and Stevens Henniger College. All right, we've got the show lined up for you. Let's get right into it. One of the things we talked about yesterday that is making things complicated for the Jazz is that the items that were true in the win streak are not true now. And so the lineups, the combinations that were so good during the win streak have not been good in the losing streak. And that's what is the strange part of what's happened to this team right now, is that as Rudy's come back and as Rodney's come back one game, some of the collective bandwidth that this group had before has disappeared. So, for example, Derek Favors and Jonas Jerebko, which was the starting combination, they played 212 minutes for the season, almost all of them during that streak. The Jazz were plus 13 per 100 possessions. The offense was crazy good, unsustainably good, at 120 points per 100 possessions. League average is about 105. And the defense was right at league average, 106.5. Call 106 league average. So the defense was league average. The offense was spectacular. Now, that offensive number, honestly, should kind of jump out at you like, I don't think that is possible. That's actually the season-wide number. I take that back. That number was even higher. In the last four games, in 33 minutes, which is only 15% of the time they've spent together, the offense drops from 20 points per 100 possessions. So why? Like, the defense is 16 points worse per 100 possessions. So really, fundamentally, the same core big man lineup. So in other words, what gets weird is, so there's no question that Rudy returns. And as Rudy returns, the collective bandwidth mojo has disappeared. Now, that's factual. Then the second question is it coincidental? Right? Did the schedule change? Did we go on the road more? Are we playing better teams? Yes. And then the second part of that is, well, is it Rudy's fault? Like, oh, well, Rudy's on the floor, so our other lineups aren't on the floor. So I don't know if that's true. I mean, in the four-game losing streak, Favors on the floor by himself for 79 minutes. Same. So Favors the five, which was so brilliant, were minus 31. Our defensive rating in those 79 minutes is a 120. 120. Ricky Rubio and Derek Favors together is a 122. And that, make sure we understand how, I mean, you're not playing defense at that point. Right? So then that gets to the question is, did they lose their identity of who they are at some point in time? The worst team in the league right now are Phoenix and Sacramento at defensively. They're both at 109. 120, I'm talking about here. So, I mean, I don't have answers here, guys. I actually had somebody who tweeted me and was frustrated. I don't have answers. Because the basis point for decisions falls apart on every single one of my decisions, of my thoughts. So Derek favors Ntabo Cephalosha. For the season, he played 192 minutes. 153 of those were prior to this four-game stretch. For the season, their offensive rating is a 112, make you basically best in the league. Defensive rating is a 101. You're plus 11. It's brilliant. Four-game losing streak. The offense drops 20 points again. 20 points per 100 possessions to 94.8. That's not sustainable. That's unnaturally bad. And the defense goes to 117. So wait a second. You're telling me that two-man groups favors and Jarebko favors and Cephalosha. 400 combined minutes for the season. Combined 12 positive. Point per 100 possessions, outscoring opponents by 12 for the season. Now combined for the last 80 minutes of play, a little less, 75, are minus 20. Same guys. Like, how does that make sense? So, if I'm sitting in a meeting with Quinn Snyder and his coaching staff, and I'm saying, okay, well, we were playing well like this, we got to get back to that lineup, and then you go investigate that lineup, that lineup's actually been the problem now. The other discussion point a lot of people want to go with is Ricky's not playing great. Okay. So, let's put Donovan in there. Over the losing streak, when Donovan is on the floor by himself without Ricky Rubio in 57 minutes, we're minus 16, and our defensive rating is 117. Oh, it's terrible. And Donovan, when over the last four games, when burdened with playing the point guard without Neto, we miss Neto, I don't know how he gets minutes, is shooting 36% from the floor and 29% from three. When he's on the floor with Rubio, he's shooting 17 percentage points better and 6 percentage points better from three. When he has to play point guard, there's huge decision-making that is taking away a little bit of his offense. That's easy to figure out. When Ricky and Donovan are on together in the losing streak for 88 minutes, we're minus 22. When Ricky's on by himself for the 35 minutes, we're minus 2. And when Donovan's on the floor by himself without Ricky, we're minus 16 in 57 minutes. Okay, so I'm in Quinn Snyder's meeting room, and we talked about Ricky struggling, and Donovan's prowess and tough minutes at the wing, and maybe we move Donovan back into the starting lineup or into the point guard position, turn this thing over to him and throw it to the wind, and maybe we get there. But right now, if the primary interest piece is Donovan, that doesn't seem to be the right thing for Donovan. Tough. Really, really tough. No good answers at all. And sometimes we have no answers. You as a coach, you just don't do much, it seems. Because you better, as I talked about earlier this week, if you're going to make that move, you better be right. Today's show brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai at 4646 South State Street. Blake and the crew over at Murdoch Hyundai. Enjoy them so much. The fun times I've had with Blake, getting to know the Murdoch family. Really, really good people. And loving getting the feedback from you guys on your experiences over there as well. One thing I was talking about earlier is I was driving the Ioniq, which is their hybrid. And if you are in the market for a hybrid, one for fuel efficiency, one for air quality, whatever the various reasons might be, I think you'll find out that that's one you might want to look at. It was, I got a great email from Adam Wiley. Said, long-time listener, Locked On Jazz. Haven't been tuning in as much season due to busy schedule, but been debating buying a new car with great gas mileage lately. And lo and behold, I tune into your show. I hear you talk about the Ioniq and the Murdoch Hyundai and having nine or so left. Went over to Murdoch Hyundai to just compare the Ioniq to the Prius, which is what I was originally considering. Had a great experience with Brandon and the crew. And long story short, walked out this morning with a brand new Ioniq. Love those stories. It's kind of cool when you have a good experience. Hopefully Adam's still loving it. I asked Adam, give me a little background. And he said, I'm not a car guy. So I made my decision based on consumer reports. I looked into Murdoch after hearing it on your podcast. They had positive reviews. I saw an ad for 0% financing, which was approved for. The 0% financing, gas mileage of the car were the major factors for me. The car drove great. But again, I'm not a car person, so I probably wouldn't have noticed any red flags either. That being said, the staff at Murdoch seemed pretty reasonable, and I felt like the staff wasn't over-the-top sales-driven, which was comforting. So that's from Adam Wiley. If you're going to buy a new car, 4646 South State Street. Hyundai's not a brand that I knew very well before the Murdochs reached out to me. Now that I know it, I would tell you to consider. I was actually at dinner last night with my our first babysitter. Her husband works for a totally incredible biotech company that's just doing amazing things. I was so inspired by being with them last night. But they're looking for a car, and I said, like, I know. She's like, Volvo, this, that. I was like, okay, take a second and go look at the Hyundai. Go look at the Hyundai Santa Fe. There's what? Same conversation we always have, and take a moment and look at it. And hopefully they will. They won't go to Murdoch because they're here in Boston, but they should. All right. The Boston Celtics are the opponent tonight. It's interesting how few great defensive teams we've played this year. I'm not always great with game memory, but if we run through the best defensive teams in the league, Boston, this is our first matchup. We've played the Thunder twice. The Thunder, our last outing against Thunder, our offensive rating was a 96.7. Thunder, the number two defense. Our previous offensive rating against Thunder was a 100.9. We have not played the Spurs. We've not played the Warriors. So, of the top, and we're the fifth best defensive team. We have played the Rockets, who are tied with us for fifth best defensive team in the league. We had a 105.2 offensive rating against them in a 27-point loss. It's a little misleading, obviously, because of the fact that they, you know, they were up by 27, so you wonder whether they continue to defend. And we'll see whether or not, you know, we can replicate that. Our other matchup against them, recently we had a 103.2 offensive rating. So we were pretty below average on both of those, but pretty decent. The Portland Trailblazers, we have not played. They're the sixth best defense. The Raptors, we played early in the season. They're the seventh best defense. The Fighting Dwayne Casey's, we had a good night. We had a 105.8 against them. And then the Lakers are the eighth best defense, who I don't believe we've played yet this year. And the Wizards, who we blew out of the ninth, and the Detroit is the 10th that we haven't played. So of the top 10 defenses in the league, we've played one against the Wizards, one against the Raptors, two against the Rockets, two against the Thunder. Now we have Boston, who is considerably better than most of the league. Interesting comparison to the Jazz, though. So their area where they're just so much better than we are is defending the shot. They're at 49% compared to our 51. We force more turnovers. Defensive rebounding is pretty similar. And we foul a little bit more than they do. But their basic thing is that they're defensively the number two team in the league against the shot. They're the third best defensive team against the three. We're 21st against the three. What's interesting about watching them is for all the talk of Brad Stevens being a wizard, they don't run a lot of stuff. You'll see that tonight. They don't run an incredible amount of stuff. They instead spread the floor, get five out, and penetrate at you. And they and that is tough for us because a lot of what we do is try to have Gobert cover the middle, and he'll have to be out on the floor dealing with Al Horford or Aaron Baines. Baines is a pretty aggressive role guy. I would suspect that we'll put favors on Horford to start. And then when you pull everyone out, now instead of what our defense is so much of kind of channeling guys into Rudy and into help, there's no help because everybody's pulled out of the middle of the floor. And that in turn, that's what makes Boston really, really difficult to guard is when they spread the floor like that. So it's not some intricate, crazy, incredible offensive system that you're going to see. It's much more that they've spread the floor and then their athleticism goes to work. And then defensively, they switch everything. So for a team like us who leads the league in picks and leads the league in handoffs, it's going to be very difficult because we're not garnering the advantage that we usually garner from that. They're not playing as well right now. They've split their last four. One was the loss to Chicago. They beat Detroit, who's struggling, by 10. They beat Dallas by 7. They got a nice win against Milwaukee. But they've dropped their level a little bit. They beat Denver by 6 in a high-scoring game. But they've got guys playing well. Jaylen Brown, 26 the other night. Kyrie, 33. Marcus Smart still can't score. Baines was a force rolling. And then they're getting good contributions off a bench that's pretty thin right now. Ojale, Rozier, Thies, and Larkin were the four that they threw out there the other night. Jason Tatum has just been remarkable, and he just looks like he's going to be even better. 15 points, 6 of 9 from the field, 4 rebounds. Just plays the game with ease. And then they switch with Marcus Smart, Kyrie Irving, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. Just interchangeable switching pieces. And it's tough. All right, let's get to Pack Friday. Today's show is brought to you by Stevens Henniger College. If you're heading to work today, or not, maybe you're off, but you know where I'm going here. Work is not what you want to be. For whatever reason, your first chance at college didn't happen. Life gets in the way. You weren't ready. And now you're into a job where you need that little boost to your resume. You need that something that's going to give you different level of skills, different level of experience to help you get out of the job you have right now where you don't see the change in sight. Maybe Stevens Henniger can help you because that's what they're there for. They are there to give you the ability to try. They're going to support you and put you in a circumstance in which you can make a career change. Maybe it's the missing degree. Now you know more now. You want to do something to improve your situation. Then Stevens Henniger, with their small classes of 9.5 to 1, the narrow focus, the flexibility, the course designs exactly for business need. Each course is 4 weeks long. Stevens Henniger is set up and incentivized for you to do better, to you to get into a better situation, for them to help you advance your career on the way out the door. They've won several best in state for a reason. They've got some neat features that tell you kind of the core of who they are. For example, that once you've gone to Stevens Henniger, you can always go back and audit a class for free. So they are clearly there for your development, for your next steps. Stevens Henniger College. Text keyword to 88588. That's keyword to 88588. Visit youineducation.com. That's U-Y-O-U in education.com. Stevens Henniger College. All right, let's do our Pack Friday. Here we go. Let's run our top of the season. LeBron was at top last time we checked. I always love it because I don't check this before, so I'm always kind of, I do the sort right with you. Sometimes it goes wrong. LeBron is the number one offensive player in the league. Not a surprise to any Jazz fans. Nikolai Mirotic is two. That won't last. James Harden, three. Wow, the top have risen. Four is Anthony Davis. Oh, James Harden is three. Mirotic is not really qualified. So one is LeBron. Two is Harden. Three is Steph. Four is Anthony Davis. Five is Kevin Durant. Six is Giannis Antetokounmpo. Seventh is Clint Capella. Eighth, Steven Adams. Nine, Klay Thompson. Three of the top nine in Golden State. Two of the top seven, frankly, in Houston. And Oklahoma City is getting better because they're actually using Steven Adams. And that's a huge change of what's going on in OKC. Kyrie Irving is next, and Karl Anthony Towns is after that. And those are the 10 players, maybe 11 in the NBA, with a pack above two. We're settling into kind of where we are for the season. Amazingly, Jason Tatum is next. 1.9 for a rookie. Unheard of. Probably, as I said last time, should be the rookie of the year. Kyle Korver, DeAndre Jordan, Etwan Moore in New Orleans, Enes Kanter, Dwayne Dedman, Kevin Love, Rudy Gobert, Aaron Gordon, Bielitsa, who is, I think, injured in Minnesota, Bojan Bogdanovic in Indiana, Tony Snell, Al Horford, Nene, playing limited in Houston, Chris Paul are the next tier all at 1.5. Followed that with Valanciunas, Covington, Nikola Jokic, Hassan Whiteside, Darius Miles in New Orleans, Victor Oladipo, DeLon Wright, Ryan Anderson, Lou Williams holding through the top 40. Let's go down to the worst. They will be the similar. It's hard for them to get out of it. Let's see if Donovan, how much Donovan's risen out. The worst offensive player in the league, though, is going to be Lonzo Ball. Has been all year. Minus 3.6. Russell Westbrook is now the second most negatively impactful player in the league at minus 3.3. Dennis Smith, minus 2.8. Marcus Smart, fourth worst, minus 2.5. Josh Jackson in Phoenix, minus 2.4. Danilo Gallinari in L.A. De'Aaron Fox, Deion Waiters, Chris Dunn, Yusuf Nurkic, Carmelo Anthony, minus 2. I mean, the lack of efficiency for Carmelo and Westbrook as they turn possessions over to Steven Adams, that's why it's vital for them. But that is a bad offensive team right now. For the season, your Utah Jazz. Rudy Gobert's at 1.7. Joe Ingles is at 0.9. Cephalosha at 0.8. Favors at 0.8. Remember, he was about 1.7 during that hot streak, maybe even higher. And now you're not getting that, which is too bad. Jonas, 0.6. Burks, 0.2. Hood, even. Neto, even. Epe, Udo, even. Royce O'Neal, minus 0.6. Nate Walters, minus 0.8. Ricky Rubio, minus 0.8. Donovan Mitchell, minus 0.9 still for the season. And his numbers are not, you know, he's 42%, 37%. Still only going to line 6% of the time. And then Tony Bradley and Joe Johnson. What's interesting about that is Royce O'Neal, you know, the Jazz actually come pretty close if Mitchell can settle himself. We'll look at the last 10 games. And if Joe Johnson's injury means he comes back better, he was, you know, he wasn't very good beforehand. If he can settle himself, you can come back and suddenly the Jazz could have an offensive team that allows for maybe the Jazz to be pretty good offensively if everybody's just above average. All right, last 10 games. The number one in the league is LeBron James. I think I did this morning. I prepared it correctly. Number two, Kyle Lowry. I just haven't sorted it. Wait a sec, though. If I haven't sorted it. What? A little nervous here for a second. All right, let's do this. Now we feel better about things. All right, sort it. Okay, number one pack player in the league over the last 10 games. How about this? Is Etuan Moore. Hottest player in the NBA right now is Etuan Moore, playing 36 minutes a night, shooting 64% from three, averaging 18 points a game over the last 10 games. I didn't know. That's why I love Pack Friday. LeBron James is number two. Nikolai Mirotic in four games is three. Devin Booker has been out of the lineup. It would have been next. Kyrie Irving. Then Klay Thompson is at 3.6. James Harden, 3.5. Steph Curry, Giannis, Chris Middleton. That's why they're playing so well. So the top 10 are Etuan Moore, LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, Klay Thompson, James Harden, Steph Curry, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Chris Middleton, Trevor Ariza, and Kevin Love. Alec Burks is the 11th best offensive player in the NBA over the last 10 games. How about that? Plus 2.5. Way to go, AB. DeAndre Jordan, Victor Oladipo. The rookie John Collins has only played four games. Bam Adebayo in Miami is playing pretty well. Wayne Ellington, Dwayne Dedman, Lou Williams, Clint Capella, Damian Lillard, Jason Tatum, Montrezl Harrell, Drew Holiday, Chris Paul, Anthony Davis, all over two. Let's go to the bottom guys. John Wall, but he has not played much in that period. Russell Westbrook is a minus 5.0 in the last, wow. I mean, you rarely see a player, you don't see a player plus five, minus five. He's shooting 37% from the field, 30% from three. Carmelo is next. So in the last 10 games, Russell Westbrook and Carmelo Anthony are the two worst offensive players in the NBA. Followed by Andrew Wiggins, who's shooting 39% and 29% from three and not going to line very much. Josh Jackson. Paul George. Holy smokes. Jeremy Lamb, Nicholas Batum. Avery Bradley, Deion Waiters, Justin Jackson, Ish Smith, Michael Carter-Williams, Tim Hardaway, Lonzo Ball, much improved, minus 2.2, so he's getting a little better. It's still not good, but he's getting better. Dennis Smith, De'Aaron Fox, and then C.J. McCollum and Yusuf Nurkic step into this group, surprisingly. Let's look at your Utah Jazz. And over the last 10 games, we know AB is best at 2.5. Favors at 1.8 still. Donovan Mitchell is a positive 1.5 in the last 10 games. That is really awesome. So if Donovan's suddenly a positive and Joe Johnson can go back to being even, then suddenly only Ricky Rubio is negative in your offense, which is worth biting into. Joe Ingles, plus 0.8, Jonas Drebko plus 0.7, Cephalosha plus 0.7, Gobert plus 0.2, which is very low for him. O'Neal minus, Neto minus, Bradley minus, Ricky Rubio minus, Nate Walters minus. So really only Rubio, minus 0.7. That's why the offense over the last 10 games has still been pretty good. Interesting, though, congratulations to AB and great to see Donovan at 1.5. That is your Pack Friday. Thanks very much. Show today brought to you by Stevens Henniger College, as well as our friends at Murdoch. Have a great day. Back with you. Back with you. Well, today's Friday, isn't it? Back with you Monday. We'll have postcast after tonight's game and Cleveland game. So look forward to having you with us. It is Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.